and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of The Headless Ghost. Really, you're going to meow right then?
Yes, I am!
By R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. This is obviously, since there's a clear sound difference, a bath episode. I'm going back to bath episodes. So I'm in the bath, drinking some sort of horrible chemical energy drink that has, like, somehow, like, negative calories in it, which makes no sense to me. And vodka. Obviously, lots of vodka in there. And then I got three Budweisers on deck. Oh, my God, the cat might jump in the bath. Scarlet, get down.
I love you.
This book was suggested via email by, I think, Samantha. And the cover of it is a guy in old, like, Victorian garb. But he's clearly a ghost, because you can see through him, and he's bluish-gray. Really, you're going to stand in front of the microphone? The cat is, like, about to climb on me in the bath. And the guy looks like the douchebag that went in Clarissa's window. I am already rambling. Anyway, and his head is in his arm. He's holding his head. And it says, "Major headache!" Scarlet, can you please move, sweetheart? Really? Can you please... Oh my God, she's going to fall in the bath. Okay, she's running away, rightfully so. Dear God, we're off to a great start. This is what podcasting should be. I'm going to take a huge chug of this, even though I've already delayed enough. Chapter number one. Yeah, singing in the shower. Stephanie Alpert and I haunt our neighborhood. We got the idea last Halloween. There are a lot of kids in our neighborhood, and we like to haunt them and give them a little scare. Scarlet! Stop it! Sometimes we sneak out late at night in masks and stare into kids' windows and masturbate. It gives them such a fright. And we finish. Sometimes we leave rubber hands and rubber fingers on windowsills. And sometimes we hide disgusting things in mailboxes. And the cat officially dipped her paw into the bath and is now climbing me and smelling my mouth as I talk. Sometimes Stephanie and I duck down behind bushes or trees and make the most frightening sounds. Animal howls. Make the sound, Scarlet. Now you're going to shut up when it says animal howls? And ghostly moans. Wah. Stephanie can do a terrifying werewolf howl, and I can toss back my head and shriek loud enough to shake the leaves on the trees. We keep almost all the kids on our block pretty frightened. In the mornings, we catch them peeking out of their doors, seeing if it's safe to come out. And at night, most of them are afraid to leave their houses alone. Because there's only a couple of years you have as a child that you can actually go out at night and explore and hang out outside and play two square or wall ball. But she ruined it for the kids by being spooky for no reason. They didn't have a childhood. You know what happens when you don't have a childhood? You end up perfectly fine, just like Michael Jackson. Stephanie and I are really proud of that. During the day, we are just Stephanie Alpert and Dwayne Comack, two normal 12-year-olds. But at night, we become the twin terrors of Wheeler Falls. No one knows. No one. Seriously, I know I should have started this over, but it's really fucking cute when there's a little cat just crawling on top of you while you're recording. Look at us, and you see two sixth graders at Wheeler Middle School. Both of us have brown eyes and brown hair. Both of us are tall and thin. Stephanie's a few inches shorter. Taller, because she has higher hair. Some people see us hanging out together and think we're brother and sister, but we're not. We don't have any brothers and sisters, and we don't mind one bit. We live across the street from one another. We walk to school together in the morning. We usually train... Oh my God! Cat in the bath! Cat in the bath! Ow! Claws! Oh! Oh, God. This is the greatest podcast ever. Can't believe you guys get this shrimp for free. The cat just went from the side of the bath trying to jump up on the ledge that has, like, shampoo and stuff, which is maybe 2 inches wide, sloped down so water doesn't pool up, has a razor on it where she jumped, and the area that's not filled up by, like, you know, products and shit is maybe 6 inches. Obviously, she could not stand on that. She jumped and then jumped right on my knee, landing with all four paws with the claws out. We live across the street from one another. We walk to school together in the morning. We usually trade lunches, even though our parents both pack us peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. We're normal, totally normal, except for our secret late-night hobby. How did we become the Twin Terrors? Well, it's sort of a long story. I'm going to go pause the recording right now and save it, because that's podcast gold, even though it's going to make water all over the bath. Just went to get back into the bath, and there's this cat hair in the bottom, like, clearly a whole leg at least went into the cat. Cat is the best podcast ever. Last Halloween was a cool, clear night. A full moon floated over the bare trees. I was standing outside Stephanie's front window in my scary Grim Reaper costume. You may be a king or a lowly street sweeper, but one day or another you must fear the Reaper. That was a bastardization of the Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey Reaper rap. I stood up on my tiptoes, trying to peek inside to check out her costume. Or her changing into her costume. Hey, beat it, Dwayne, no looking, she shouted through the closed window. Then she pulled down the shade. I wasn't looking, I was just stretching, I shouted back, continuously stretching and unstretching my wiener. I was eager to see what Stephanie was going to be. Every Halloween she comes up with something awesome. The year before, she came waddling out inside a huge ball of green toilet paper. You guessed it, she was an iceberg lettuce. I didn't guess that. But this year, I thought maybe I had her beat. I'd worked really hard on my Grim Reaper costume. I wore high platform shoes, so high that I'd tower over Stephanie. My black hooded cape swung along the ground. I hid my curly brown hair under a tight rubber skull cap, and I'd smeared my face with sick-looking makeup, the color you see on moldy bread. Oh my goodness! My dad didn't want to look at me. He said I turned his stomach. A success. I couldn't wait to make Stephanie sick. I banged my Grim Reaper sickle on Stephanie's window. Hey, Steph, hurry up, I called. I'm getting hungry. I want candy. I waited and waited and baited and baited. I started pacing back and forth across her front lawn, my long cape sweeping over the grass and dead leaves. Did you learn nothing from your last experience, Scarlet? Hey, where are you? I called again. No, Stephanie. Stop it. You. With an impatient groan, I turned back to the house, and a huge, hairy animal jumped me from behind and chewed my head off. You're really going back to the bath? Did you learn nothing? Chapter number 2. I'm going to start ignoring the cat because then she'll go away and you won't be annoyed. Well, it didn't really chew my head off, but it tried to. It growled and tried to sink its gleaming fangs into my throat. I staggered back. The creature looked like an enormous black cat covered in thick black bristles. Gobs of yellow goo poured from its hairy ears and black nose. Actually, if it was going to be actual cat earwax, it would be black or dark, dark brown. It's not actually yellow, stupid. Its long, pointed fangs glowed in the dark. The creature snarled again and shot out a hairy paw. Candy. Give me all your candy. Stephanie? I choked out. It was Stephanie, wasn't it? The creature jabbed its claws into my stomach in reply. That's when I recognized Stephanie's Mickey Mouse watch on its hairy wrist. Wow, Stephanie, you look awesome. You really... I didn't finish. Stephanie ducked behind the hedge and yanked me down beside her. My knees hit the sidewalk hard. Ow! Are you crazy, girl? I shrieked. What's the big idea? A group of little kids in costumes paraded by. Stephanie leapt out of the hedge. Rawr, she growled. The little kids totally freaked. They turned and started to run. Three of them dropped their trick-or-treat bags. Stephanie scooped up the bags like a total bitch. Yum. Whoa, you really scared them, I said, watching the little kids run up the street. That was cool. Stephanie started to laugh. She has a high, silly laugh that always starts me laughing, too. It sounds like a chicken being tickled. That was kind of fun, she replied. More fun than trick-or-treating. Wait, did she really just take the candy? Because this book could be about a ghost that just decapitates girls for no reason. And now that I know she just jacked candy from little kids for no reason, it wasn't like, hey, sorry, it's just a joke, here's your candy back. Fuck her. We spent the rest of the night scaring kids. We didn't get much candy, but we had a great time. I wish we could do this every night, I exclaimed as we walked home. We can, Stephanie said, grinning. It doesn't have to be Halloween to scare kids, Dwayne. Get my meaning? I got her meaning. You know, she wasn't subtle or anything. She just said it doesn't have to be Halloween to scare kids. That's pretty direct. She tossed back her bristly head and let out her chicken laugh. And I laughed too. And that's how Stephanie and I started haunting our neighborhood. Late at night, the twin terrors strike up and down our neighborhood. We're everywhere. Well, almost everywhere. There's one place in our neighborhood that Stephanie and I are afraid of. It's an old stone house on the next block. It's called Hill House. I guess that's because it sits up on a high hill on Hill Street. That's actually what it says. That's the sentence. Obviously, that's a good reason, you know. I know, a lot of towns have a haunted house, but Hill House really is haunted. Stephanie and I know that for sure, because that's where we met the Headless Ghost. Chapter number three. Hill House is the biggest tourist attraction in the Wheeler Falls. Actually, it's the only one because we live in a shithole. Maybe you've heard of Hill House. It's written up in a lot of books. Tour guides in creepy black uniforms give the Hill House tour every hour. The guides will act real scary and tell frightening stories about the house. Some of the ghost stories give me cold shivers. Stephanie and I love to take the tour, especially with Otto Man. Otto is our favorite guide. Otto is big and bald and scary looking. He has tiny, black, beady Jew eyes that seem to stare right through you. And he has a big, booming voice that comes from deep inside his huge chest covered in beer tits. Sometimes when Otto leads us from one room to another room and shit in the old house, he lowers his voice to a whisper. He talks so slow you could barely hear him. Then his tiny eyes will bulge. He'll point and scream, "There's the ghost! There!" Stephanie and I always scream. Even Otto's smile is scary. Stephanie and I have taken the Hill House tour so often, we could probably be tour guides. We know all the creepy old rooms. Like the especially creepy one where the guy in the dog suit is blowing the dude for some reason. All the places where ghosts have been spotted. Real ghosts. It's the kind of place we love. Do you know the story of Hill House? Well, here's the story that Otto, Edna, and the other guides tell. Cocktail. All done. Damn. Alright, I'm gonna do a totally insane jackass stunt. Hi, my name is Dune, and this is the dumping ice in the bathtub for no reason because I don't want to put this cup over there with it full of ice. I don't like it, it's cold. Hill House is 200 years old, and it's been haunted practically from the day the stones were gathered to build it. A young sea captain built the house for his new bride. But the day the house was finished, the captain was called out to sea. His young wife moved into the huge house all alone. It was cold and dark and dank. And sticky, icky, icky. And the rooms and hallways seemed to stretch on forever. For months and months, she stared out of their bedroom window, the window that faced the river, waiting patiently for the captain's return. Winter passed. Then spring. Then summer. But he never came back. The captain was lost at sea. One year after the sea captain disappeared, a ghost appeared in the halls of Hill House. The ghost of the young sea captain. He had come back from the dead. Back to find his wife. Back for harpoon tang. Every night he floated through the long, twisting halls. He carried a lantern, a green lantern, and called out his wife's name. Annabelle. Ayo, bitch, Annabelle, get in here. But Annabelle never answered. In her grief, she had fled from the old house. She never wanted to see it again. Another family had moved in. As the years passed, many people heard the ghost's nightly calls. Yo, bitch, Annabelle! Annabelle! Through the twisting halls and cold rooms of the house! Annabelle! Annabelle! People heard the sad, frightening calls, but no one ever saw the ghost. Then, 100 years ago, a family named Craw bought the house. The Craws had a 13-year-old boy named Andrew. Andrew was a nasty, mean-natured boy. He delighted in playing cruel tricks on the servants. He scared them out of their wits and scared their shits out of their britches. He once threw a cat out of the window. He once recorded a podcast with a cat in a bath. He was disappointed when it survived. Dune was not. He feels very bad for his kitty and will give her treats. Even Andrew's own parents couldn't stand to spend time with the mean-tempered boy. He spent his days on his own exploring the old mansion to see what kind of trouble he could get into. What trouble he could get into. In Sweet Home Hill House, one day he discovered a room he had never explored before. He pushed open the heavy wooden door. It let out a loud creak. Then he stepped inside. A lantern glowed dimly on a small table. The boy saw no other furniture in the large room. No one at the table. How bizarre, he thought. Why should I find a burning lantern in an empty room? Andrew approached the lantern. As he leaned down to lower the wick, the ghost appeared. The sea captain. Over the years, the ghost had grown into an old and terrifying creature. He had long, white fingernails that curled in spirals like the Indian people on Guinness Book of World Records. Cracked black teeth poked out from between swollen, dry lips. That nigga needs some chapstick. And a scraggly white beard hid the ghost's face from view. The boy stared in horror.
Who are you?
He stammered. The ghost didn't utter a fucking word. He floated in the yellow lantern light, glaring hard at the boy.
Who are you? What do you want? Why are you here?
The boy demanded. When the ghost still didn't reply, Andrew turned and tried to run. But before he moved two steps, he felt the ghost's cold breath on his neck as if he was chewing on menthol, chewing tobacco. Andrew grabbed for the door, but the old ghost swirled around him, swirled darkly, a swirl of black smoke in the dim yellow light. No, stop! The boy screamed. Let me go! The ghost's mouth gaped open like Goatsy's butthole, revealing a bottomless black hole. Finally, it spoke in a whisper that sounded like the scratch of a dead... Sorry, I got to turn the page. My hands are a little wet. Like the scratch of a dead... Oh, dead leaves and shit. Now that you have seen me, you cannot leave! No, the boy shrieked. Let me go! Let me go! The ghost ignored the boy's cries. He repeated his dry, cold words. Now that you've seen my fucking face, bruh, you cannot leave. How cool would that be if ghosts in the future talk, you know, like, they talk all like Victorian times? Because that's apparently when all ghosts were formed. But I want ghosts to talk like now, like, what up, bruh? The old ghost raised his hands to the boy's head and pushed it down to his crotch. No, I'm just kidding. His icy fingers spread over Andrew's face. The hands tightened. Tightened! Do you know what happened next? Do you know how lazy that writing is? Wow. Really, do you... It ended with, do you know what happened next on that chapter? It's fucking bullshit, R.L. Stein. Bud
Wise?
Yeah, that's an old Super Bowl ad from a long, long, long time ago. Checking my phone. Chapter
Quattro.
The ghost pulled off the boy's head and hid it somewhere in the house. After hiding the head, hiding it away in the huge, dark mansion, the ghost of the sea captain let out a final howl that made the heavy stone walls tremble. The terrifying howl ended with the cry, Annabelle! Annabelle! Then the old ghost disappeared forever. But Hill House was not freed from the ghosts. A new ghost now haunted the endless twisting halls. They have to have some end. I guess they could be around. From then on, Andrew haunted Hill House. Every night, the ghost of the poor boy searched the halls and rooms looking for his missing head. All through the house... Say Otto and the other tour guides, you can hear the footsteps of the headless ghosts searching, always searching. I bet he bumps into shit all the time and it's funny. And each room of the house now has a terrifying story of its own. Are these stories true? Well, Stephanie and I believe them. That's why we take the tour so often. We must have explored the old place at least 100 times. Hill House is such awesome fun. At least, it was fun. Until Stephanie had another... fucking shit. Until Stephanie had another one of her bright ideas. After Stephanie's bright idea, Hill House wasn't fun anymore. Hill House became a truly scary place.
Chapter
number 5. The trouble started a few weeks ago when Stephanie suddenly got bored. It was about 10 o'clock at night, right when Woot switches over if you live in the Pacific time zone. We were out haunting the neighborhood. We did our terrifying wolf howl outside of Gina Jeffers' window. Then we went next door to Terry Abel's house. We put some chicken bones in her mailbox, just because it's creepy and shit. Then We crept across the street to Ben Fuller's house. And we went and saw the Ben Fuller's Five. He had a song about abortion that was very depressing. Ben was our last stop for the night. Ben is a kid in our class, and we have a special scare for him. You see, he's afraid of bugs, which makes him really easy to scare. Even though it's pretty cold out, he sleeps with his bedroom window open. So Stephanie and I like to step up to his window and toss rubber spiders onto Ben as he sleeps! Seems like after you do that twice, he's just going to get used to it and have no problem with it. But I digress! The rubble spiders tickle his face. He wakes up and starts to scream every time. He always thinks the spiders are real. He screams and tries to scramble out of bed. He gets all tangled in his covers and thud onto the floor. That's how he broke out his two front teeth. Now he has fake ones. But everyone knows they're fake because they're not the right color. Then, Stephanie and I congratulate each other on the job well done and we go home to bed. And fuck. I think they just go home to their separate beds. Never mind, sorry. But tonight, as we tossed the rubber spiders at Ben's sleeping face, Stephanie turned to me and whispered, I just had a great idea. Huh? I started to reply, but Ben's scream interrupted me. We listened to him scream, then thud to the floor. Stephanie and I slapped each other a high five. Then we took off, running across the dark backyards, our sneakers thudding hard on the nearly frozen ground. We stopped in front of the split oak tree in my front yard. The tree trunk is completely split in two, but Dad doesn't have the heart to have the tree taken away. What's your great idea? I asked Stephanie breathlessly. Her dark eyes flashed. I've been thinking. Every time we go out to haunt the neighborhood, we scare the same old kids. It's starting to get boring. I wasn't bored, but I knew that once Stephanie gets an idea, there's no stopping her. So, do you want to find some new kids to scare? I asked. No, not new kids. Something else. She began to walk around the tree, circling it. We need a new challenge. Like what? I asked. This girl, by the way, is going to OD eventually. She's just going to keep kicking it up a notch. You know, once you start searching for that new high, you know, you're never going to get as high as you did the first time. You just keep chasing that dragon. Chasing that dragon! Philip Seymour Hoffman! Right, Kyle Stanley? Our scares are all kid stuff. She complained. We make some spooky sounds, toss a few things inside an open window, and everyone is frightened to death. It's too easy. Yeah, I agree, but it's funny. She ignored me. She stuck her head through the split in the tree trunk. Dwayne, what's the scariest place in Wheeler Falls? That was easy. Hill House, of course, bitch, I answered. Right, and what makes it so scary? All the fucking ghost stories, bitch. But especially the one about the boy searching for his head. Yes, Stephanie cried. All I could see now was her head poking through the split oak tree. The headless ghost, she cried in a deep voice and let out a long, scary laugh. Wow. What's your problem? I demanded. Are you trying to haunt me now? Damn it, I just instinctively scratch myself, but I'm in the bath now. I can't turn the page because my hand is wet. I'm gonna dry it off of my hair, which is greasy and gross because I'm yet to actually take a shower today. I'll do that after I record this and shave. Her head seemed to float in the darkness. We need to haunt Hill House, she declared in a whisper. Hey, Lax, dude, I just want to let you know that you're not up in my head, okay? You haven't gotten to me. I haven't cracked or anything. I'm just trying to get this up right now, and I canceled all my plans to get the podcast up as to not disappoint you, just on my own volition. I don't care if I disappoint you. And you're not in my head at all. I hate my life. The best thing about podcasting in the bath is I could do this cool move where I go and drink beer with it pouring like 8 inches from my mouth. And then it just dribbles down me like I'm Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds. And it's fun. So now I'm just covered in beer. Chapter number 666666666666. Excuse me, I cried. Stephanie, what are you talking about? We'll take the Hill House tour and sneak off on our own, Stephanie replied thoughtfully. I shook my head. Give me a break, bitch! Why would we do that? Stephanie's face seemed to glow, floating by itself in the tree trunk, like the time we tried acid. We'll sneak off on our own to search for the ghost head. I stared back at her. You're kidding, right? I walked behind the tree and tugged her away from it. The floating head trick was starting to give me the creeps. No, Dwayne. I'm not kidding, she replied, shoving me away. We need a challenge. We need something new. Prowling around the neighborhood, terrifying everyone we know? That's just kid stuff. Boring. Maybe we could try stuff with just you and me, because I've noticed your body changing and stuff, and I can tell you mine is too. I got like 4 pubes, so I was just wondering if you... No? Oh, okay, we're going back to scaring people. But you don't believe the story about the missing head, do you? I protested. It's just a ghost story. We can search and search, but there is no head. It's all a story they made up for the tourists. Stephanie narrowed her eyes at me. I think you're scared, Dwayne. Huh? Me? My throat got pretty shrill like a little bitch. A cloud rolled over the moon, making my front yard even darker. A chill ran down my back and became butt sweat. I pulled my jacket around me tighter. I ain't afraid of no ghosts, or to sneak off from the tour and search Hill House on our own. I told Stephanie, I just think it's a big waste of time. Dwayne. You're shivering, she teased, shivering with fright. I am not. I just haven't had a drink in a couple hours like Dune. I screamed, come on, let's go to Hill House right now. I'll show you, bitch. A grin spread over Stephanie's face. She tossed back her head and let out a long howl. A victory howl. This is going to be the coolest thing the Twin Terrors have ever done, she cried, slapping me a high five that made my hands sting. She dragged me up Hill Street. The whole way there, I didn't say a fucking word. Was I afraid? Nah, maybe a little. We climbed the steep, weed-choked hill and stood before the front steps of Hill House. The old house looked even bigger at night, 3 stories tall, with turrets and balconies and dozens of windows all dark and shuttered. All the houses in our neighborhood are brick or clapboard. What's clapboard? Someone Google it for me. Hill House is the only one made out of stone slabs. Dark, gray slabs! I always have to hold my breath when I stand close to Hill House. The stone is covered with a blanket of thick green moss. 200 years of that shit. Putrid, moldy moss that doesn't exactly smell like a flower garden. I peered up. At the round turret that stretched to the purple sky. A gargoyle carved in stone perched at the very top. It grinned down at us, as if challenging us to go inside. Now I'm on your roof, roof, gargoyle, grr. Now I'm on your roof, roof, gargoyle, grr. My knees suddenly felt weak. The house stood in total darkness except for a single candle over the front doorway. But the tours were still going on. The last tour left at 10:30 every night. The guide said the late tours were the best time to see ghosts. I read the sign etched in the stone beside the door. Enter Hill House, and your life will be changed forever. I'd read that sign 100 times. I always thought it was funny in a corny sort of way. But tonight, it just gave me the creeps. That was a vague social distortion reference. Tonight was going to be different. Come on, Stephanie said, pulling me by the hand. We're just in time for the next tour. The candle flickered. The heavy wooden door swung open by itself. I don't know how, but it always does that. Well... Are you coming or not? Stephanie demanded, stepping into the dark entry. Not coming! I gulped. Chapter number Chapter number 7. Otto met us as we stepped inside the door. Otto always reminds me of an enormous dolphin for some fucking reason. He has a big, smooth, bald head, and he's sort of shaped like a dolphin. He must weigh about 300 pounds. Don't people associate dolphins with being swift swimmers rather than just being fucking fat and useless? I think he's thinking of a manatee. Otto was dressed entirely in black, as always. Black shirt, black pants, white shoes, black Cadillac, and he was a time bomb. Black socks, black shoes, and gloves. You guessed it, black! The uniform that all the tour guides wear. Look who's here, he called. I'm going to ignore her because then she'll stop meowing. Because it's not like she's going to eat anymore. She just wants attention. Stephanie and Duane, he broke out in a wide grin. His tiny eyes flashed in the candlelight. Our favorite guide, Stephanie greeted him. Are we in time for the next tour? We pushed through the turnstile without paying. We're such regulars at Hill House that they don't even charge us anymore. I bet they're not happy about that. About 5 minutes, guys, Otto told us. You two are out late tonight, huh? Yeah, well, Stephanie hesitated. It's more fun to take the tour at night, isn't it, Duane? She jabbed my side. You could say that again, I mumbled. We moved into the front hall with some others who were waiting for the tour to begin. Teenagers, mostly, out on dates. The front hall is bigger than my living room and dining room put together. And, except for the winding staircase in the center, it's completely bare. No furniture at all. Shadows tossed across the floor. I gazed around the room. No electric lights. Small torches were hung from the peeling, cracked walls. The orange torchlight flickered and bent. I was seriously prepared to be like, small torches were hung from the peeling? You mean ceiling, R.L. Stein? And try to sound like some cocky douche, but it turns out it just was peeling cracked walls. And I'm an idiot, and people should hate me. And R.L. Stein's an accomplished writer with millions, literally fucking millions of dollars. And I'm just broke and useless, and I should, I don't know if I should kill myself, but I should probably get into cutting. Or like into like a sad addiction, like getting strung out on like sleeping pills or something. Something's just fucking stupid. In the dancing light, I counted the people around me, 9 of them. Stephanie and I were the only kids. Otto lighted a lantern and crossed to the front of the hall. He held it up high and cleared his throat. Stephanie and I grinned at each other. Otto always starts the tour the same way. He thinks the lantern adds atmosphere. Ladies and gentlemen, he boomed, welcome to Hill House. We hope you will survive your tour tonight. Then he gave a low, evil laugh. Stephanie and I mouthed Otto's next words along with him. In 1975, a prosperous sea captain, William P. Bell, built himself a home on the highest hill in... Wheeler Falls. It was the finest home ever built here at the time. 3 stories high, 9 fireplaces, 26 bidets, and over 30 rooms. Captain Bell spared no expense. Why? Because he had money and shit. And he hoped to retire here and finish his days in splendor with his young and beautiful wife. Just fucking. But it was not to be. Otto crackled, and so did Stephanie and I. We knew every move Otto had. Otto went on. Captain Bell died at sea in a terrible shipwreck before he ever had a chance to live in his beautiful house. His young bride, Annabelle, fled the house in horror and sorrow. Now Otto's voice dropped. But soon after Annabelle left, strange things began to happen in Hill House. This was Otto's cue to start walking toward the winding stairs. The old wooden staircase is narrow and creaky. When Otto starts to climb, the stairs groan and grumble beneath him, as if in pain. Keeping silent, we followed Otto up the stairs to the first floor. Stephanie and I love this part because Otto doesn't say a word the whole time. He just huffs along in darkness while everyone tries to keep up with him. Everyone, please keep up with the manatee. By the way, I stopped doing the thing where I lift the beer up like 8 inches. Because I realize it makes my everything all bubbly when it goes down. And I burp a lot. It's hard to read. He tried. I guess it's hard to read as is. He starts talking again when he reaches Captain Bell's room. A big wood-paneled room with a fireplace and a view of the river. Soon after Captain Bell's widow ran away, Otto reported, people in Wheeler Falls began reporting strange sightings. Sightings of a man who resembled Captain Bell. He was always seen here standing by his window, holding his lantern aloft. Otto moved to the window and raised his lantern. On a windless night, if you listen carefully, you could sometimes hear him calling out her name in a low, mournful voice. Otto took a deep breath, then called softly, Annabelle. Annabelle. I'm not going to say it the third time. Otto swung the lantern back and forth for effect, but now he had everyone's complete attention. But of course, there's more. He whispered. I don't think that, Damn it! My joke is ruined by my not being able to get Billy Mays! Damn it! I was gonna say, but of course there's more, he whispered. Oh, Billy Mays would never whisper, but of course there's more. He'd yell it to you, something, something, cocaine. But that was ruined because I couldn't think of his name and just sat here silently in the bath. Naked. Captain Ocho. As we followed him through the upstairs rooms, Otto told us how Captain Bell haunted the house for about 100 years. People who moved into Hill House tried all kinds of ways to get rid of the ghost, but it was determined to stay. Then, Otto told everyone about the boy finding the ghost and getting his head pulled the fuck off his shoulders. The ghost of the sea captain vanished. The headless ghost of a boy continued to haunt the house, but that wasn't the end of it. Into the long, dark hallway now, torches darting and flickering along the walls. Tragedy continued to haunt Hill House, Otto continued. Shortly after young Andrew Craw's death, his 12-year-old sister Hannah went mad. Let's go to her room next. Damn it, I should just stop drinking beer in general. Like, that's gonna happen. Awkward pause. He led us down the hall to Hannah's room. Stephanie loves Hannah's room. Hannah collected porcelain dolls, and she had hundreds of them, all with the same long yellow hair, painted rosy cheeks, and blue tinted eyelids. Ew, they look like Mimi from the Drew Carey Show. After her brother was killed, Hannah went cray, Otto told us in a hushed voice. All day long, for 80 years, she sat in her rocking chair over there in the corner, and she played with her dolls. She never left her room, ever. Not even to go poo-poo. He pointed to a worn rocking chair. Hannah died there, an old lady surrounded by her dolls. The floorboards creaked under him as Otto crossed the room. Setting the lantern down, he lowered his bog means big body, into the rocking chair. The chair made a cracking sound, because back then there weren't people who weighed 300 pounds, and Otto was being a douche and ruining a part of history. I always think Otto's gonna crush it. He started to rock. Slowly, the chair groaned with each move. We all watched him in silence. It was just like standing outside of a Cracker Barrel. Some people swear that poor Hannah's still here, he said softly. They say they've seen a young girl sitting in this chair, combing a doll's hair. He rocked slowly, like Kenny G, letting the idea sink in. And then we come to the story of Hannah's mother! With a grunt, Otto pulled his fat fucking self to his feet. He grabbed up the lantern and made his way to the top of the long, dark stairway at the end of the hall. Soon after her son's tragedy, the mother met her own terrible fate. She was on her way down these stairs one night when she tripped and fell to her death. Otto gazed down the stairs and shook his head sadly. He does this every time. As I said, Stephanie and I know his every move. But we hadn't come here tonight to watch Otto perform. I knew that sooner or later, Stephanie would want to get going. So I started glancing around to see if it was a good time for us to sneak away from the others. And that's when I saw the strange kid watching us. Do you guys think it's a ghost? It might be a ghost, guys. I didn't see him when we first came. In fact, I'm sure he wasn't there when the tour started. I had counted 9 people, no kids. The boy was about our age, with wavy blonde hair and pale skin. Very pale skin, like Dune's girlfriend. He was wearing black jeans and a black turtleneck that made his face look even whiter. And listening to The Cure's Disintegration on an iPod, I edged over to Stephanie. She was hanging back from the group. You ready? She whispered. Otto had started back down the stairs. If we're going to sneak away from the tour, now is the time. But I could see this weird kid still staring at us, staring hard. He was giving me the fucking creeps. We can't go. Somebody's watching us, I whispered to Stephanie. Who? That weird kid over there. I motioned with that my eyes. He was still staring at us. He didn't even try to be polite and turn away when we caught him. What was he watching? Why was he watching us like that? What was his problem? Or as the Spanish would say, problemo. Something told me we should wait. Something told me not to hide from the others just yet. But Stephanie had other ideas. Fuck him, she said. He's nobody. She grabbed my arm and tugged. Let's get out of here. We pressed against the cold wall of the hallway and watched the others follow Otto down the stairs. I held my breath. I'm going to put a My Brother Is Me reference in every single episode. I held my breath until I heard the last footsteps leave the stairway. We're all alone now. Alone in the long, dark hall. I turned to Stephanie. I could barely see her face. Now what? I asked. Now what? Indeed, listeners.
Chapter.
If you would have seen me right now, aside from being like, dear God, why are you nude? You would have been like, damn, that guy's cool. Because I finished my Budweiser and then I just tossed it down into the bath where it's floating by my left calf.
Chapter number nine.
Now we do some exploring on our own, Stephanie declared, rubbing her hands together like a greedy Jew. This is so exciting! I gazed down the long hallway as Dune decided to sink the beer can so it didn't smack against the wall and make horrible noises the whole time. Dear God, let me sink it. The wind rattled the windows in the room as we had just come from. Steph, are you sure? I started. But she was already hurrying down the hall, walking on tippy-toes to keep the floors from squeaking. Come on, Duane. Let's search for the ghost's head, she whispered back to me, her dark hair flying behind her. Who knows? We might find it. Yeah, whatever, I rolled my eyes and tightened up my leather. I didn't think the chances were too good. How do you find a 100-year-old head, and what do you do if you find it? Yuck! What would it look like? Just a skull? I followed Stephanie down the hall, but I really didn't want to be there. I like haunting the neighborhood and scaring other people. I don't like scaring my fucking self. Stephanie led the way into a bedroom we had seen on other tours. It was called the Green Room, because people go there to smoke hecka buds. And because the wallpaper was decorated with green vines. Tangle after tangle of green vines, like Jumanji, up and down the walls and across the fucking ceiling, too! How could anyone sleep in here, I wondered. It's like being trapped in a thick jungle. We both stopped inside the doorway and stared at the tangles of vines on all sides of us. Stephanie and I called the green room by another name. The scratching room. Otto once told us that there's some... that shit went down and shit. This is where I start to yell at my own brain. Come on, alcohol. Do your thing. Go, go, gadget liver! All right. Otto once told us that something terrible happened here 60 years ago. The two guests who stayed in the room woke up with a disgusting purple rash. The rash started on their hands and arms. Then it spread to their faces. Then it spread all over their entire bodies, except for the head of their penis, which turned orange for some reason. Big purple sores that itched like crazy. Doctors from all around the world were called to study the rash. They couldn't figure out what it was, and they couldn't figure out how to cure it. Something in the green room caused the rash. But no one ever figured out what it was. That's the story Otto and the other guides tell. It might be true. All the weird, scary stories audio tells us might be true. I don't know. Who fucking knows? Come on, Duane, Stephanie prodded. Let's look for the head. We don't have much time before Otto sees that we're missing. We trotted across the room and dove under the bed. Steph, please, I started. I stepped carefully over to the low wooden dresser in the corner. We're not going to find a ghost's head in here. Let's go, I pleaded. She couldn't hear me. She had climbed under the bed, which apparently prevented her fucking hearing. What the hell? Obviously she could hear. Steph? After a few seconds, she backed out. As she turned toward me, I saw that her face was bright red. Duane, she cried. I... Maybe she's about to sing the beginning of Crazy Train. I. Her dark eyes bulged. Her mouth dropped open in horror. She grabbed the sides of her face. What is it? What's wrong? I cried, stumbling across the room toward her. Oh, it itches. It itches so bad. Stephanie wailed. I started to cry out, but my voice got caught in my throat. Stephanie began to rub her face. She frantically rubbed her cheeks, her forehead, her taint, her chin. Oh, it itches. It really itches. She started to scratch her scalp with both hands. I grabbed her arm and tried to pull her up from the floor. The rash. Let's get you home, I cried. Come on, your parents will get the doctor and... I stopped when I saw that she was laughing. I dropped her arm and stepped back. She stood up, straightened her hair. Duane, you fucking jerk, she muttered. Are you going to fall for every dumb joke tonight? No way, I replied angrily. I just thought... She gave me a shove. You're too easy to scare. How could you fall for such a stupid joke? I shoved her back like Chris Brown would do. Just don't pull any more dumb jokes, okay? I snarled. I mean it, Stephanie. I don't think it's funny. I really don't. I'm not going to fall for any more stupid jokes. So don't even try. She wasn't listening to me. She was staring over my shoulder, staring in open mouth shock. Oh, I don't believe it, she stammered. There it is. There's the head. I bet this asshole's gonna fall for another fucking joke again and be an idiot. Chapter number 10. I fell for it again. Called it. I couldn't help myself. I let out a shrill scream. I spun around so hard I nearly knocked myself over. I followed Stephanie's finger. I squinted hard in the direction she pointed. She was pointing to a gray clump of dust. "Sucker! Sucker!" She slapped me on the back and started to giggle. I uttered a low growl and balled my hands into tight fists, but I didn't say anything. I just beat the fuck out of her. Oh, I know I didn't. I could feel my face burning. I knew that I was blushing. "You're too easy to scare, Dwayne," Stephanie teased again. "Admit it." "Yeah, well, you're just too easy in general, fucking slut." "Oh, no," he said. "Let's just go back to the tour," I grumbled. "No way, Dwayne. This is fun. Let's try the next room. Come on." When she saw that I wasn't following her, she said, "I won't scare you like that anymore. Promise." I saw that her fingers were crossed, but I followed her anyway. What choice did I have? We crept through the narrow hall that connected us to the next room and found ourselves in Andrew's room. Poor, headless Andrew. It still had all his old stuff in it. Games and toys from 100 years ago. An old-fashioned wooden bicycle leaning against one wall. Everything just the way it was before Andrew met up with the sea captain's ghost. A lantern on the dresser cast blue shadows on the walls. I didn't know if I believed the ghost story or not, but something told me that if Andrew's head were anywhere, we'd find it here, in this fucking room. Under the old-fashioned looking canopy bed are hidden under his dusty, faded toys. Stephanie tiptoed over to the toys. She bent down and started to move things aside. Little wooden bowling pins. An old-fashioned butt plug. A board game, the colors all faded to brown. A set of metal toy soldiers. "Check around the bed, Dwayne," she whispered. I started across the room. "Stephanie, we shouldn't be touching this stuff. You know the tour guides never let us touch anything." Stephanie set down an old wooden top. "Do you want to find the head or not, asshole?" "You really think there's a ghost's head hidden in this house?" "Dwayne, that's what we're here to find out, right?" I sighed and stepped over to the bed. I could see there was no use arguing with Stephanie tonight. There's no use ever arguing with women, am I right? You know, it's just, you can't win, you know, even if you're right. I ducked my head under the purple canopy and studied the bed. A boy actually slept in this bed, I told myself. Andrew actually slept under this quilt. The AIDS quilt, 100 years ago. The thought gave me a chill. I tried to picture a boy about my age, sleeping with me, sexually, in this old, heavy bed. "Go ahead, check out the bed," Stephanie instructed from across the room. I leaned over and patted the gray and brown patchwork quilt. It felt cold and smooth. I punched the pillows. They felt soft and feathery. "Because they're full of feathers, idiot. Nothing hidden inside the pillowcases." I was about to test the mattress when the quilt began to move. It rustled over the sheets, a soft, scratchy sound. Then I stared in horror at the gray and brown quilt that began to slide down the bed. There was no one in the bed, no one. But someone was pushing the quilt down. Down to the bottom of the bed.
Chapter number 11.
I swallowed a scream. "You've got to move faster, Dwayne," Stephanie said. I turned and saw her standing at the end of the bed, holding the bottom of the quilt in both hands. "We don't have all night," she declared. She pulled the quilt down farther. Nothing in bed. "Come on, let's move." A sigh escaped my lips. Stephanie had tugged down the quilt and scared me again. God, I seriously am getting so sick of the lazy chapter endings that are supposed to be a big fucking cliffhanger, and they're just stupid. Sick of this shit, Goosebumps. At least this time, she hadn't seen how frightened I was. We worked together to pull the quilt back into place. She smiled at me. "This is kind of fun," she said. For sure, I agreed. I hoped she couldn't see that I was still shaking. It's a lot more fun than... tossing rubber spiders in Ben Fuller's bedroom window. I like being in this house so late at night. I like sneaking off from the group. I can feel a ghost lurking nearby, Stephanie whispered. You can? I stammered, glancing quickly around the room. My eyes stopped at the bottom of the door to the hallway. There it sat, on the floor, wedged between the door and the wall, half hidden in deep shadow. As I said that, a plane, I guess, went over, and there's a skylight in my bathroom, and it went dark for a second, and it scared me. The head. This time I saw the head, not a cruel joke, not a cruel trick. Through the gray-black shadows, I saw the round skull, and I saw two black eye sockets. Empty eye sockets, two holes in the skull and shit, staring up at me, staring! I grabbed Stephanie's arm. I started to point, but there was no need. Stephanie saw that shit, too. Chapter 12. I was the first to move. I took a step toward the door, then another. I heard sharp gasps. Someone breathing hard, close to me. It took me a few seconds to realize it was Stephanie. Keeping my eyes on the head, I made my way into the dark corner. My heart started to pound as I bent down and reached for it with both hands. The black eye socket stared up at me. Round, sad eyes. My hands trembled. I started to scoop it up, but it slipped out of my hands and started to roll away. Stephanie let out a cry as the head rolled over the floor toward her. In the orange light from the lantern, I saw her frightened expression. I saw that she was frozen there. The head rolled over the floor and bumped against her sneaker. It came to a stop inches in front of her. I was about to tell you what kind of shoes I wear, and that makes no sense, and it's not relevant. The empty black eye socket stared up at her. Dwayne, she called, staring down at it, hands pressed against her cheeks. I really didn't think we'd find it. I think I'm turning Japanese. I think you're turning Japanese. I really think so. That would be so uncomfortable if I tried to turn Japanese while in this bath right now and you're listening. I hurried back across the room. It's my turn to be the brave one, I decided. My turn to show Stephanie that I'm not a wimp who's afraid of my shadow. I turned to show Stephanie. I scooped up the ghost head in both hands. I raised it in front of Stephanie. Then I moved toward the lantern on the dresser top. The head felt hard, smoother than I'd thought. The eye sockets were deep. Stephanie stayed close by my side. Together we made our way into the orange lantern light. I let out a groan when I realized I wasn't carrying a ghost's head. Stephanie groaned too when she saw what I held in my hands. This is going to be so disappointing and almost make me throw this book in the bath. I've read the first line of the next chapter, and I'm seriously thinking about quitting Goosebumps. Unless you PayPal me a bunch of money. But seriously, I'm going to keep going. Also, on a side note, I'll finish this book half next week and stay on schedule. The week after that, I will be out of town in New Orleans with my girlfriend, staying at my brother's house with his fiancé, and it'll be a good time, but I won't get a Goosebumps book up because I will be gone. Chapter 13. I feel bad saying this. Like, I feel like the bearer of bad news here. Anyway, chapter 13. A bowling ball. I was carrying an old wooden bowling ball. The pale wood cracked and chipped. I don't believe it, Stephanie murmured, slapping her forehead. My eyes went to the wooden bowling pins lying among Andrew's toys. This must be the ball that went with those pins, I said softly. Stephanie grabbed it from me and turned it between her hands. But it only has two holes. I nodded and winked. So do you, bitch. Bend over. Sorry, I'll start reading it normal like I care. Yeah, in those days, bowling balls only had two holes. My dad told me about it one day when we went bowling. Dad never could figure out what they did with their thumb. Stephanie tucked her fingers into the two holes. The eye sockets. She shook her head. I could see she was really disappointed. We could hear Otto's voice booming from somewhere downstairs. Stephanie sighed. Maybe we should go down. That's what it says, because I have to turn the page. That's funny. They're going to do oral sexing. And rejoin the tour, she suggested. She rolled the ball back to the pile of toys. No way, I exclaimed. I liked being the brave one for a change. I didn't want to quit while I was ahead. It's getting kind of late, Stephanie said, and we're not going to find any ghost head up here. That's because we've already explored these rooms 100 times, I told her. I think we should find a room we've never explored before. She scrunched up her face, thinking hard. Duane, do you mean... I mean, the ghost head is probably hidden in a room the tour doesn't go through. Maybe upstairs, you know, on the top floor? Stephanie's eyes grew wide. You want to sneak up to the top floor? I nodded. Why not? That's probably where all the ghosts hang out, right? Hey, everyone that's listening should be 18. But if you're a young boy or girl, you should talk about grabbing boobs under the bra as sneaking up to the top floor. You know what I'm saying? It's a good one. You guys can have that. She studied me. Her eyes searched mine. I knew she was surprised by my brave idea, of course. Also, by the way, even if you're over 18 and not experienced with the opposite or same sex, I guess there's no upstairs on a dude. It's just dongs and buttholes. I just wanted to be the brave one for a change. I was hoping she'd say no. I was hoping she'd say, let's go back downstairs, Duane, wink. But instead, an excited grin spread over her face, and she was all like, okay, let's do this shit.
Chapter number 14.
So I was stuck being the brave one. We both had to be brave now. The twin terrors on their way up the dark, creaking stairway that led to the third floor. A sign beside the stairs read, "No visitors." We stepped right past that shit and began climbing the narrow staircase. Side by side, I couldn't hear Otto's voice anymore. Now, I could only hear the creak and squeaks of the steps beneath our sneakers. And the steady thud, thud, thud of my heart as I had just smoked methamphetamine. The air grew hot and damp. As we reached the top, I squinted down a long hallway. There were no lanterns, no candles. The only light came from the window at the end of the hall, pale light from outside that cast everything in an eerie, ghostly blue. Let's start in the first room, Stephanie suggested, whispering. She brushed her dark hair off her face. It was so hot up here. I had sweat running down my forehead. I mopped it up with my jacket sleeve and followed Stephanie to the first room on the right. The heavy wooden door was half open. We slid in through the opening. Pale blue light washed in through the dust-caked windowed. Windowed. Windows. Windows. XP. I waited for my eyes to adjust, then I squinted around the large room. Empty. Completely empty. No furniture. No signs of life. Or ghosts. Stephen, look. I pointed to a narrow door against the far wall. Let's check it out. We crept across the bare floor through the dusty window. I glimpsed the full moon high over the bare trees now. The doorway led to another room, smaller and even warmer. A steam radiator clanked against one wall. Two old-fashioned looking crutches stood facing each other in the center of the room. Also, the crutches are couches. That's probably good to note. No other furniture. Let's keep moving, Stephanie whispered. Another narrow door led to another dark room. The rooms up here are all connected, I murmured. I squeezed. I need to drink. My brain's shutting down again. I read that dope shit, get cirrhosis. I murmured. I sneezed. Sneezed again. Shh! Shut the fuck up, Duane! Stephanie scolded. The ghosts will hear us coming. I can't help it, I protested. It's so dusty up here. And once again, thank you to Dusty for making the theme song to Dune Reads Goosebumps. We were in some kind of sewing room. An old sewing machine stood on a table in front of the window. A carton at my feet was filled with black and milds. Or balls of black yarn. I bent down and pawed quickly through the balls of yarn like a kitty. Remember when the cat fell in here? That was awesome. No head hidden in there. We stepped into the next room before realizing it was completely dark. The window was partly shuttered. Only a tiny square of gray light crept through the outside. I can't see shit, Stephanie declared. I felt her hand grasp my arm. It's too dark. Let's get out of here, Dwayne. I started to reply, but a loud thump made my breath catch in my throat. Stephanie's hand squeezed my hand. Dwayne, did you make that thump? Another thump. Closer to us. No, not me, I stammered. Another thump on the floor. We're not alone in here, Stephanie whispered. I took a deep breath. Who is it? I called. Who's there?
Chapter and the 15.
Who's there? I choked out. Stephanie squeezed my arm. It's so hard that that shit fucking hurt, but I made no attempt to move away from her. I heard soft footsteps, ghostly footsteps. A cold chill froze the back of my neck. I clamped my jaw shut as if I was on ecstasy to keep my mouth from chattering. And then yellow eyes floated towards us through the thick darkness.
Ooh, cirrhosis. Speaking of the devil, eventually I'll have yellow eyes.
Four yellow eyes. The creature had four eyes. A gurgling sound escaped my throat. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move. I stared straight ahead, listening, watching. The eyes floated apart in pairs. Two eyes moved to the right end. Two eyes moved to the left. No, I cried out, and then I saw more eyes. Yellow eyes in the corner of the room. Evil eyes glinting at us from against the wall. Yellow eyes all along the floor. Yellow eyes all around us. Cat-like yellow eyes glaring in silence at Stephanie and me as we huddled together in the center of the room. Cat-like eyes. Cat's eyes. Because the room was filled with cats. A shrill yell gave them away. A long meow from the windowsill made Stephanie and me both sigh in relief. If I cared more about this podcast, I would put the cat sounds from the beginning of the episode right here, because there was a cat making sounds, but I'm not going to do that, so just imagine I did. A cat brushed against my leg. Oh, what a sweetheart. Startled, I jumped aside, bumping into Stephanie. She bumped me back. We did the bump. More cats meowed. Another cat brushed the back of my jeans leg. I think the cats are lonely, Stephanie stammered. Do you think anyone ever comes up here? I don't care, I snapped. All these yellow eyes floating around. I thought, I don't know what I thought. It's creepy. Let's get the fuck out of here. For once, Stephanie didn't argue. She led the way to the door at the back of the room. All around us, cats were howling and yowling. He could have just said either or, R.L. Stine. Another one brushed my leg. Stephanie tripped over a cat. In the darkness, I saw her fall. She landed on her knees with a hard thud. The cats all began to screech. Are you okay? I cried, hurrying to pull her up. The cats were howling so loud I couldn't hear a reply. We jogged to the door, pulled it open, and escaped. I closed the door behind us. Silence now. Where are we? I whispered. I don't know, Stephanie stammered, keeping close to the wall. I moved to a tall, narrow window and peered through the dusty glass. The window led out to a small balcony. The balcony jutted out from the gray shingled roof. Pale white moonlight washed in through the window. I turned back to Stephanie. We're in some kind of back hallway, I guessed. The long, narrow hallway seemed to stretch on forever. How many times in this book have they mentioned that hallways go on forever? That's some old bullshit.
Maybe these rooms are used by the workers. You know, I see a giant sombrero, which clearly indicates worker. Manny, the night watchman, the house cleaners, and the tour guides. Stephanie sighed. She stared down the long hallway. Let's go downstairs and find Otto, and take the tour group. I think we've done enough exploring for tonight. I agreed. There must be some stairs at the end of the hall. Let's go. I took 4 or 5 steps, then I felt the ghostly hands. They brushed over my face, my neck, my body, my pussy, my crack. Sticky, dry, invisible hands. The hands pushed me back as they clung to my skin. Oh, help, Stephanie moaned. The ghost had her in their grasp, too. God, I'm going to be annoyed if it's just cobwebs.
Chapter number 16.
The ghost's filmy hands brushed over me. I could feel the soft fingers, dry and soft as air, tighten around my skin. Stephanie's hands thrashed wildly. Beside me in the dark hall, she struggled to free herself. It's like a net, she choked out. I swiped at my face, my hair, I spun away. But the dry fingers clung to me, tightening. And I realized we hadn't walked into a ghost's grasp. Tugging and tearing frantically with both hands, I realized we had walked into cobwebs. Fuck this book! A thick curtain of cobwebs! I'm seriously considering just putting this book in the bath, letting it become waterlogged, and never thinking about part two. Because so far in this fuck shit fucking cunt fuck book, hey, we're a couple kids. We like to scare people. We went to a house. We got lost from the tour. There's a ghost without a head. That's 2 tweets. Fuck them. The blanket of sticky threads had fallen over us like a fisherman's net. The more we struggled, the tighter it wrapped itself around us. Stephanie, it's cobwebs, I cried. I tugged a thick, stringy wad of them off my face. Of course it's cobwebs, she shot back, squirming and thrashing. What did you think it was? Fucking a ghost? I muttered. Stephanie snickered. Dwayne, I know you have a good imagination, but if you start seeing ghosts everywhere, we'll never get out of here. I didn't know what to say. Stephanie thought the same thing I did. She thought she'd been grabbed by ghosts, but now she's pretending she knew all along. We stood there in the darkness, tearing the sticky threads off our faces and arms and bodies. I let out an angry groan. I couldn't brush the stuff from my hair. I was recently drunk, surprise, and walking Franklin, and went through a cobweb and did the horrible cobweb dance of like ripping it off your face and flailing about like Kramer and realized that people saw me. It was very embarrassing. I'm gonna itch forever, I wailed. I've got more bad news for you, Stephanie murmured, pointing to my junk. You're gonna itch everywhere forever, wink. She didn't say that. I pulled a thick wad off my ear. Huh? Who do you think made these cobwebs? I didn't have to think about it. Spiders? My arms and legs started to tingle. My back began to itch. I felt a light tingling on the back of my neck. Were there spiders crawling up and down my fucking body? Hundreds and hundreds of them? Forgetting the wispy strings of cobweb, I started to run. Stephanie had the same idea. We both ran down the long hall, scratching and slapping ourselves. Steph, the next time you have a great idea, don't have a great idea, I warned her. Let's just get out of here, she groaned. We reached the end of the hall, still scratching as we ran. No, stairway. How do we get back downstairs? Another hall twisted to the left. Low candles over the doorways flickered and danced. Shadows darted over the worn carpet like slithering animals. Probably snakes. Snakes are typically related to slithering. Come on! I pulled Stephanie's arm. We had no choice. We had to follow this hallway, too. We jogged side by side. The rooms were all dark and silent. The candle flames dipped as we ran past. Our long shadows ran ahead of us, as if eager to get downstairs first. I stopped when I heard someone laughing.
Whoa, Stephanie murmured, breathing hard. Her dark eyes grew wide. We both listened hard. I heard voices inside the room at the end of the hall. The door was closed. I couldn't make out the words. I heard a man say something. A woman laughed. Other people laughed, too.
We caught up with the tour, I whispered.
Stephanie scrunched her face.
But the tour never comes up here to the top floor, she protested.
We stepped up close to the door and listened again.
More laughter on the other side. A lot of people talking cheerfully, all at the same time. It sounded like a party.
I pressed my ear against the door.
I think the tour ended and everyone's just chatting, I whispered.
Stephanie scratched the back of her neck. She pulled a stringy gob of cobweb from her hair, like in Something About Mary.
Well, hurry, Dwayne. Open the door. Let's join them, she urged.
I hope Otto doesn't ask where we've been, I replied. I grabbed the doorknob and pushed open the door. Stephanie and I took a step inside and gasped in shock at what we saw.
And so concludes part one of The Headless Ghost by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps.
Fuck! Can someone suggest a Goosebumps book that isn't boring as sin? Because I need to stop reading these shitty ones or else my podcast is going to fail completely. God damn it! That was half a book that did nothing. And then the one before it with the fucking Beast from the East. Oh, God. Oh, I'm so sorry. Lax, dude. What am I doing with my life? This sucks. I fucking hate it. But, remember when the cat fell in the bath? That was good. That was good pod. Anyway, I'm going to go shave and take a shower and do that sort of stuff. So, while I'm in the shower, cleaning up and becoming a human being, you all can stay spooky, bitches.